good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Top Tropicals. We're back on the air after a summer hiatus to give you information on everything in the tropical fruit world. My name is Mark, and we're here with our host, international certified weed specialist and crop advisor, Robert Reefer. And just to give you a little update on our summer, I hope you all had a very good summer. We made some great improvements here at Top Tropicals to our shipping, to our plant selection, and of course, to our social media platform. A lot of changes out there. We hope you get a chance to come visit us at toptropicals.com. See that everything that's going on. Of course, before we start today's topic, this is Labor Day weekend, and what would Labor Day weekend be without planting some tropical plants? So I'll give you a quick update on some of our specials going on at Top Tropicals for our Labor Day sale. You can get all the information right on our website, but we do have 20% off discounts for Labor Day starting right now through the end of Tuesday, September 5th. The code is LaborDay2017. All we ask is a $50 minimum order, and you get 20% off your order. We also have an enormous selection of flowering trees and shrubs on sale, some up to 50% off, and you can still use your Labor Day coupon off on sale items as well. We also have a large selection of buy one, get one free. Please go to our website and you can see all of our buy one, get one free specials. And of course, we have our normal special for 5% off any order over $100. And one last thing, our sunshine. We have Sunshine Thermo Plant Booster on sale. Right now is the time to begin your thermal protection before the winter months kick in. We have 50% off the big bottle, 50 milliliter bottle of Sunshine, as well as 50% off the 100 milliliter bottles of Sunshine. Okay, with all that out of the way, welcome everybody back to Radio Top Tropicals, and let me introduce our host, Robert Reefer, who will bring our subject for the day. Robert, take it away.
Thank you very much. The title of our show today is Gone with the Wind. With all the hurricane disaster going on in Texas, this is not meant to be a funny or glib show. This is as large a disaster as was seen in many places during the Civil War, which the original book title had described. We cannot tell you and do not have the information on everything to do in case of a hurricane, but we can tell you how to properly manage your vegetation around your home and yard to make sure that damage during a bad storm, tornado, or hurricane is mitigated. The main problem with these hurricanes with wind is that vegetation in the way of power lines brings down the electrical grid. It acts as obstacles for highways and road systems to where help can reach where it's needed after a terrible storm. And through proper purchasing of the correct trees and through proper pruning of your trees and shrubbery, you can prevent a disaster and have accessibility to both your power lines and your home that people who do not put this forethought into simply will not have.
Well, Robert, very timely topic today, and obviously our thoughts and prayers to everybody in Houston. What's going on there is just horrible, the events. But, you know, frankly, this is the peak of hurricane season, so we all have to be prepared. I know just coming up here on the Atlantic coast, there's a hurricane forming out in the waters of Atlantic heading our way possibly. So today's topic, Robert, would be how to protect yourself, your garden, your plants from the wind and damage of a hurricane. some questions are already coming in. Now, let me start the first one for you here. I have a large rainbow eucalyptus planted and the wind broke off the top half. Will my tree ever grow back correctly at the top? Any suggestions for our listener, Robert?
Okay, the bad news is it will not. You will not get this conical shape. However, here's the good news. You do not want the conical shape or large spike of a tall eucalyptus tree. The reason why is quite simple. They lay down a very shallow root system. Should you let your tree grow 50, 60 feet tall, no matter what soil conditions you have or water levels, these trees love to fall down in a storm. My advice is basically prune the tree, keep it well pruned, keep it at a height not over 20 feet in height.
Okay, great advice there, Robert. So, you know, we're not dealing just with hurricanes, but obviously torrential rains, strong winds. Another question came in. You mentioned the root system. Can you recommend some good shade trees with good root systems that maybe our listeners won't have to worry about them falling down? Any suggestions for our listeners on that?
Yes, I can. The tropical fruit trees that we have here at Top Tropicals are absolutely ideal because in the tropics you do have these storms, and the trees both flowering and fruiting that we carry are basically the survivors. So with proper pruning, these trees are most excellent to have and enjoy in your yards. Your mangoes, your avocados, when properly pruned, will provide quite a bit of fruit and not provide an obstacle or hazard in case of a storm. During Hurricane Andrew, back in 1992, the Homestead, Florida area was particularly hard hit. They basically pruned their avocado and mango trees after the storm, with these trees having been uprooted to a height of approximately 5 to 6 feet tall. The trees came back and produced quite a bit of fruit, and they were replanted, and they were able to save the trees and still have a viable economic grove. So proper pruning and management is the key. I remember myself back in 1965 in Miami. We had Hurricane Betsy, and we had a Hayden mango tree which had fallen over. We pruned the tree back, actually at a height of 15 feet, and used a piece of equipment called a come along. So what you basically do is you dig out from where the roots have been pulled. You then take the come along and, using a four-wheel drive monster truck or another tree or somehow some way, you can use this come along to prop the tree back up and fill back in the soil, and your tree should produce. In addition, many times after hurricanes, the fruit and flowering trees will really produce more. Fruiting and flowering are basically the plant being stressed, and the stress causes this sexual reproduction drive in the plants.
Interesting. And you know, you mentioned some of your experiences in the hurricanes here in Florida. On our website at Top Tropicals, we've posted some pictures of Hurricane Wilma and how Top Tropicals dealt with some of the after effects and the damage from that hurricane. You can see that right on our website. We've also posted the link in our chat box here at our MixLR site. So go ahead and take a look at that and you'll get some ideas. Robert, in your last answer, you mentioned a little bit about pruning trees properly, and we have some questions coming in, one specifically and then maybe one in general. The specific question is, Is there any need to prune my mango tree before a storm? But maybe you could also follow up with some of the procedures that you recommend for all trees prior to, you know, a storm or a wind event coming, what you suggest our listeners do to prepare their trees.
All right, mangoes in particular have quite a heavy leaf, which adds quite a bit of wind resistance. Therefore, these are some of the first trees to go down when not properly pruned. Yes, it is a good idea before hurricane season to prune your mango tree. One of the things you can do is if you even have a storm coming within a few hours, is to top that mango tree, let the branches lie on the ground. They won't provide much wind resistance on the ground, and you can worry about cleaning up the mess later. And this will indeed save your mango tree. You do need to make back cuts on the large major branches, as the mango can be particularly brittle. Also, bear in mind, some people are allergic to mango trees, and you want to make sure you're not allergic to the sap when you prune your mango. In addition, the greatest mistake that I see all across the state of Florida is the over-pruning of palm trees. People will pay what I jokingly term as landscapers, also known as mower jockeys, to, you know, spend between $25 and $50 to over-prune a palm tree. God will not smite you if there is a brown frond on any of your palms. These trees wind up being over-pruned. The tree actually then catabolizes itself or gains nourishment from the trunk, and the trunks get thinner and thinner and more brittle. So instead of preventing damage during a hurricane, this is the chief major cause. So save some money. Do not spend this money to prune your palm trees, and let them grow naturally. Your palms, particularly coconuts, are survivors of hurricanes. They bend in the wind, they twist, it looks like a god-awful disaster as this is occurring, but for the most part, they stand up straight. The palm trees which do come over during a hurricane or where the trunk snaps are more often than not trees which have been over-pruned.
Great information there, Robert. Yeah, we're inundated with landscapers wanting to prune everybody's palm trees.
Mower jockeys.
So here's another question regarding the wind and the damage. We have a customer asking about an avocado tree. And the question is, how far from my house should I plant my avocado tree? Any tips for our listener?
You basically want to plant your avocado tree, depending on what type it is. There are avocados that grow tall, avocados that stay short. You want to figure out what the distance would be to, say you have a 20-foot avocado tree, planted at a distance at least 25 feet from your home. Avocados may be pruned quite heavily, and they will fruit quite heavily, even if kept at a height of 10 or 15 feet. So take a look around your yard and home and see, you know, if every tree were to fall toward the house, make sure that it would not hit your home. So this, basically, it's one of these deals where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Great advice. So give yourself some extra space, 20-foot avocado tree, give yourself a few extra feet, plant it at least 25 feet from the house. Now, Robert, another question, and we dealt with this here at Top Tropicals with all the rain and the saturation in the ground, and quite frankly, even the river behind us backing up a little bit, we had about 2 or 3 feet of standing water in our mango garden. So a question that our listeners are asking, will the standing water damage my garden's root system?
Depending on how long the standing water is in place and the species of tree, on mangoes, yes, you may experience some loss. There's really not much you can do about this. With other species of trees, you need to worry about what type of water is standing. Many times during a storm, you get storm surges of salt water, and many species of plants and trees are not tolerant of this and plainly die. A good example is the island of Sanibel in southwest Florida did quite a bit of farming until I believe it was the 1935 hurricane struck and salted the earth. So the salt water that you can get in a storm surge from a hurricane or large storm system can in fact kill these trees and plants.
And as a follow-up, Robert, if your trees have sat in that standing water for a couple days and you're worried about root damage, is there anything you can do to check, or is it just a time-sensitive situation? You have to give it some time.
It really is a time-sensitive situation. What we are starting to find out in tree culture is that the soil is not just one or two types of bacteria, but the soil has literally hundreds of thousands of types. And just as when you take antibiotics, they can damage the flora in your gut and colon, generally these soils will come back. Your bacteria, fungus in the soil will be in competition with one another and should reach a balance. For this reason, I would not recommend just blithely using a fungicide or bactericide. So kind of be careful, see what's happening, and take a look. But more often than not, your trees will come back.
And Robert, speaking of soil, we have a question from a listener regarding pots and soil. The question is, I have really bad soil and I have to plant in pots. What size pots would be good to use long term and still be able to move the pots? And the follow-up question is, I do use root pruning to keep some of my tropicals, to keep them in certain size pots. What size pots do you recommend? So we've done a show before on pot gardens for tropical plants. What do you suggest for our listener regarding the soil and their choice of pot size?
Well, let me throw in another option to you. Just because you believe you have poor soil doesn't mean that you cannot plant the trees out in your yard if you decide to do so. To give you an example, in Immokalee, Florida, and southwest Florida region, as well as in the Miami area, the soil is absolutely atrocious. It does not deserve to become soil. It's approximately 99% sugar sand with fire ant residue and dog poo thrown in to add 1% organic matter to the soil. So just because your soil is poor does not mean that you can't mitigate it with a little bit of compost, use some fertilizer, and plant your trees out in the yard. Now, if you are bound and determined to use pots, use pots that are low. In other words, a 100-gallon pot or 25-gallon pot that is spread out and low is a lot better for your tropical fruit trees, including citrus. I've seen citrus fruit or fruit trees that are 25, 30 feet tall. Their root system is only about 2 feet deep. So you almost want to have a dish garden for your trees and plants. The root systems on these tropical plants, like I said, are not very deep. And in fact, take for example the Amazon. The soil in many cases is only a few inches thick with rock underneath.
Okay, so some choices there. But for our listener here, do you have a recommended pot size for some of our tropical plants that, in your experience, have been fairly easy to move and yet still give the plant some room to grow?
25 gallons is about the limit. I have a few plants right now. There's one potted in a 100-gallon pot, and the high school football team took one look at it when I asked them to move it, and they just walked away.
There you go. 25 gallons is the answer. All right. Here's an interesting question. I know we posted some pictures of Hurricane Wilma and how Top Tropicals dealt with that. Questions coming in specifically to our nursery. Does Top Tropicals lay our plants down before we expect a windstorm or a hurricane? What's the best answer?
During Hurricane Wilma, they in fact and indeed did go through this procedure. It's actually better to lay the plant down than have the storm knock it down and damage it. Even if there is standing water, the plants can then be uprighted and once storm passage is done. In fact, in many of the botanical gardens down here, on purpose, they laid down some absolutely huge trees to prevent storm damage.
Makes a lot of sense. Question regarding rain amount. We had obviously a lot of rain coming in, and we expect lots more in the future. Regarding desert rose, and how did they survive all the water and the rain? Are they hardy enough? And any tips for our listeners who maybe have the desert rose in pots?
Here's the tip on desert rose. Drainage, drainage, drainage. You want to make sure that you have enough holes in the bottom of your pot, either large rock or crockery in the bottom of the pot, as well as an exceptionally well-drained soil. So drainage is the key. You can have 30, 40 inches of rain in a month on a desert rose. If the pot is well draining, you are fine. Yet 2 inches of rain in a pot that is improperly drained may kill the plant.
Drainage, drainage. Okay, question regarding a carambola. I don't know, did I pronounce that right?
Carambola.
Carambola.
You accented the wrong syllable.
The carambola, but to me, let's see, the branches look flexible, but is that carambola a hurricane-safe tree? What is your advice regarding that?
Nothing is hurricane-safe. However, your carambolas do pretty good. Also, you can cut back carambolas like nobody's business. I actually had one right by my home. Until drought nailed it. But the carambolas are fairly good survivors, and it seems the more you cut them, the more they flower and the more they fruit. So don't be afraid to give that particular tree a haircut.
Okay, so not hurricane safe, but certainly manageable in strong winds. Okay. Now, for us in Southwest Florida and many parts of the country, during the summer and the rains, we're dealing with weeds, a tremendous amount of weeds. And our question from the listener is, I don't like Roundup as I'm always afraid to hurt good plants. Are there any new herbicides on the market that work selectively on weeds only? What's your answer, Mr. Weed Specialist?
All right, most of your weeds in your garden are annual. In other words, they only live 1 year or less. by using what is known as a pre-emergent herbicide. You can actually make sure that even though you're not killing those weeds, that future generations will not come up. You cannot plant seeds in the ground that you want to grow, but you can grow these seeds and transplant them later on into the garden. Even the big box stores have your various pre-emergents. Many of them are exceptionally easy to apply and are in granular form where you can quite literally just shake it out onto your flower bed.
Okay, any names, brand names you want to share, or are they pretty much all the same?
While I may not specifically recommend any particular type of product, one that I have seen in the big box stores is called Preen, P-R-E-E-N. It's granular based, and I have used it in the past.
Great, good advice there. We have a question regarding the ylang-ylang tree. And the question is, my ylang-ylang keeps losing branches. Is this normal? Anything you can help our listener with?
Yes, the ylang-ylang tends to do that. There's really no perfect tree in the world. And this is basically normal in the winter when you have some cold periods. But it can be a brittle tree.
Cold periods. What does those words mean? I don't know what that is, a cold period. Okay, so how about this problem regarding a mango tree? The problem is, the listener says, the mango fruit is cracking before they ripen. Why does this happen, and is there anything the listener can do to prevent their mango from cracking before it ripens?
This can be due to water imbalance in the mango tree. Tomatoes do the very same thing. So it is a tough call. There really is not much you can do in this case. Heat stress along with water stress causes fruit cracking.
Okay, and a follow-up question, Robert. We spent some time talking about pots and some recommended shallow 25-gallon pots. So now the listener is asking, any place that you suggest that they could find these pots, 25-gallon shallow pots?
It is time to Google. There are places which carry these nursery supplies, but generally you have to buy a quantity of 25, 30, something like that. My best suggestion is Google large containers, and your plastic blow mold pots are the best way to go on this. They are sturdy enough and can house whatever you need.
Okay, here's an interesting question, I guess. On our website, we talked a little bit about our new product coming out, Sunshine Sweet. We already talked about our Sunshine Thermo Boost. We have a new product, Sunshine Sweet, improving the sweetness of your fruit. Will you explain exactly how that works and when our listeners could expect to see that on our website for sale?
Utilizing the all-natural elements of boron and molybdenum, this causes the plant to translocate sugar into the fruit from other parts of from the root system, leaf system, branches, and it really, really works. In fact, right after this show, I have to go help the chemist mix up a batch. So it does work quite well, and it causes the fruit trees to translocate or move the sugar into the fruit. And one experiment I did with citrus, we had over 1,200 citrus fruit. We squeezed them all. I looked at it with a Brix meter, and it does work.
Wow, it's exciting news, Robert. So we'll keep everybody posted on our Sunshine Suite and when they can expect it. Just another reminder with the Labor Day holiday coming up. By the way, Robert, did you know that Labor Day was created in the late 1800s to give manufacturer workers some more time off
from their, didn't know that.
From their 60 to 70 hour weeks? And here's a fun fact. It's one of those rare situations where a win-win. Manufacturer workers got some more time off, and even the businesses supported Labor Day and a shortening of the work week. Why? So that the laborers would have more time to become consumers.
Very good.
Now, that's a tricky plan. And, of course, what better time than Labor Day to become a consumer, plant some plants, take the day off, and use our coupons, our Labor Day specials, 20% off on your orders, minimum of $50. And, again, that code is Labor Day 2017. Robert, any final thoughts for everybody out there regarding wind and safety in hurricanes?
Well, to Texas, take care and don't worry. Things will come back. Life will go on. Be careful. Work as hard as you can. And later it will only be a bad memory.
All right, and how about introducing for our listeners our upcoming show, September 23rd? Robert, what do we have coming up then?
We have Jurassic Park, where we discuss many of the interesting, fascinating living fossils, prehistoric plants, your cycads, ferns, as well as others.
Excellent. So that is in
Dinosaur Salad.
Dinosaur Salad. That's in 3 weeks, September 23rd, Saturday, 11 a.m. Join us for Jurassic Park. We want to thank everybody for listening to Radio Top Tropicals. Again, our thoughts and prayers to everybody in the Houston area, and we will be on the air in 3 weeks, September 23rd. We'll see everybody then.